Tonight, if you have your Bible, we're going to begin in Exodus chapter 13. And while you're turning to Exodus chapter 13, let me just ask, have you ever been in a confusing situation where you were trying to figure out what the will of God is for your life? Maybe you've had to make decisions about whether or not to take a job, whether or not to move to a certain town, whether or not to make some type of financial commitment, whether or not to make some type of, to buy a house. And, you know, it's one thing when the Word gives us clear direction on what to do. Thank God for the Word. How many thankful for the Word? Thank God for His Word. Where would we be without the mighty Word of God? The Word is no ordinary book. The Word is alive. The Word is already anointed, just dripping with anointing. And when one person will just believe, just we activate the power in the Word by our faith. Amen? But then there are times when we're praying about something and we've read the Word. Have you ever been here? You're praying about something that the Word doesn't specifically address. You're praying about it. You've read the Word. And at the end of your time of prayer, you still don't exactly know what to do. Anybody ever been there except for me? We're going to talk about that tonight, because tonight we're talking about how to follow the inward witness. More specifically, train your spirit to follow the inward witness. That's what we're talking about tonight. You know, God has always had a way to lead His people. Throughout all of the generations of time, God has always had a surefire way to lead His people. You're in Exodus 13, Exodus chapter 13. I want to read three or four verses here. I'm going to start at 18, then I'm going to skip to 21 and 22. So you're in Exodus 13. Verses 18, 21, and 22, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Version tonight. It says this: "Hence God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. And the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night." Verse 22, "And He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Isn't that interesting? God, when God, first of all, God revealed His will. I want to make three principles about following God, about training our spirit to follow the inward witness. And the first one is simply something probably you've heard before. And it is this, that faith begins where the will of God is known. I said, faith begins where the will of God is known. There are times when we're not sure of what God's will may be, and certainly if it's in the Word, we already know. We just follow the Word. Amen. But you might be wondering, what job should I take, or which way should I go on a certain decision that might not be addressed? And faith begins where the will of God is known. And if we don't know, then we've got to press in and find out. We might have to consecrate ourselves until we do know. But the first principle, I'm going to share three this tonight, but the first one is faith begins where the will of God is known. In this case, Israel, they had been in bondage for 430 years. They'd been slaves 430 years. And God revealed His will that He didn't want His people in bondage anymore. He made it abundantly clear that His people were no longer to be in bondage. And you know the story. He sent Moses, the deliverer, to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And after 10 plagues, they were marching out of Egypt. And we know there were 600,000 men. The scriptures tell us that in Exodus 12. But when you add in, you factor in the women and the children, there had to be 2.5 million of them that marched out. And the Bible says there wasn't a feeble person among them when they marched out. God healed them all. He healed all 2.5 million of them on the way out. And then He blessed them all financially and told them, "Go and ask for gold and silver from the Egyptians." There's not, because you're so slick or you're so good looking or you've got such a fancy degree. God said, "I'm going to put my favor on you. Ask the Egyptians and they're going to give you gold and silver. You're going to leave here blessed financially. You're going to leave here blessed in your body. You're going to leave here blessed spiritually." He blessed them every way you could bless them. And so he revealed His will, my will. And he also revealed that He had a promised land for His people. He revealed that. Now, you know, we started here in Exodus 13. I started reading there at 18. But the Bible says before that, God didn't lead them the fastest way. First of all, they were only about two-week journey from the promised land. And God didn't lead them the fastest way, because God said, if I lead them the fastest way, they'll see some of their enemies, they'll get afraid, they're going to think they're going to have to, they're going to be afraid to fight, and then they'll run back to Egypt. So God led them the longer way through the wilderness and down through the Red Sea, just because God already knew they would turn around and run back to Egypt. I tell you, we ought to make it as easy as possible for the Lord to lead us. And so God revealed his will. He wanted them out of bondage. He revealed his will. He had a place, the promised land for them. And then you know the story. They got out in the wilderness and they refused to act in faith. When they ran short of water, instead of saying, God, you're our God, you're going to take care of us. You've called us to leave Egypt land. We know you've got water for us. We don't know how you're going to do it. Even when we can't see it, you're working. Even when we can't feel it, you're working. You know the song we sing? They should have been singing that. But 10 times they just refused to believe. And God had fire. Think about this. He had a pillar of fire in the night, in the sky, to lead them, and he had a cloud, a pillar of a cloud, during the day to lead them. And all they had to do to be led was to look up there. It was outside of them. He led them from the outside in, and all they had to do was look up there and see the cloud or the fire, and wherever that moved, they moved. When that stopped, they stopped. If that went left, they went left. And God led them very specifically. You know, somebody says, hey, if I had that, if God would bring that back, if God would reinstitute that, I'd be happy. Well, you got something much more. If you're a Christian, if you're a born again believer, you got something way better than that. In fact, what God has placed on the inside of you as a born again believer, this is not a fair analogy, but it'd be the difference like between a horse and buggy. If we said we got to travel to Dallas from here, and we got a horse and buggy, or we got a Maybach S650, a brand new Maybach S650 you can ride in. How many know there's no comparison between a horse and buggy and a Maybach? You know, Maybach is the best Mercedes-Benz they make. There's no comparison. What God has done for you and I, the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. He's on the inside. If you're a believer, we have the Holy Ghost down on the inside of us. And guess what it says in Hebrews 8:6, that, listen, we have a better promise. If they had it good, if we can get excited that God could lead Israel like that, with the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. Thank God for that. That was awesome. It must have been awesome to look up there and see that. But we got something so far better than that. Hebrews 8:6, we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Yeah. And so he led them that way. And all throughout time, God's had a way to lead his people. Later in Israel's history, God led them. He led them through the lot, what was called the lot, or the Urim and the Thummim. He led them that way, where if you go to Proverbs 16, look at Proverbs 16:33. God always had a way to lead his people. Proverbs 16:33. It says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Yeah. The leading by the lot became a way that God led his people for a significant portion of time. When they got ready to divide up the promised land, they divided the promised land by lot. When everything went wrong on their campaign, you know, they took Jericho, they followed the leading of the Lord. He told them specifically what to do. They followed the leading of the Lord. They went around that city six times one time each day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they went around seven times. You remember that? And the wall came falling down, the walls of Jericho. And their next campaign was to take a real small town called Ai. They didn't even send very many people over there. And Israel got demolished. They got beat down. And Joshua was on his face saying, God, what happened? What happened? You promised us the promised land. And what happened? God said, get up off your face. There is sin in this camp. But nobody would admit to it. And the way they found out it was Achan, they did it by lot. They chose first a lot for each of the 12 tribes. And then they narrowed that down to the specific tribe where the lot was cast, and then they narrowed that down to the specific family that Achan was from, and then they narrowed it down to Achan. And Joshua went right up to Achan and said, "Brother, tell me what you did." God led them through the lot. Sometimes in the priestly garments, in the vest, in the priestly garments, there was a pocket, and that pocket had what we, the only way to, something like a die or a dice that we would think about today, but it had something like that. And sometimes when they needed to know major decisions, they would write a name. Like if they were praying about who to select, they would etch a name on wood or on stone. And then they would put those die in some kind of vase and then pour that out. And the first stone that came out was God's answer for who he had chosen. Sometimes they did it by wood or by like a wood straw where they pulled one and one's got a name on it. But that was God's way. God had a way to lead them. At first it was the pillar of fire and the cloud, the pillar of the cloud. But then by lot, God led his people by lot. Even over in Acts chapter 1, verse 26. Go over there, look at Acts 1, 26. Even right up into the New Testament, major decisions are still being made by lot. And you can see that in Acts chapter 1 over here in the New Testament. Major decisions being made here this way. And if, you know, sometimes we read over, we don't realize what we've just read over, but Acts 1:26. Now, you know, the setting here is this is after the resurrection, of course. Jesus has ascended to the Father, and the disciples are in the upper room praying. And Peter realizes through the word, he gets it from Scripture. He sees in Scripture a prophetic word that Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, that his office as an apostle was supposed to be replaced. And Peter announces that to the crowd. And so then they go and they find two people. They both apparently equally seem to meet the criteria. They had two people they couldn't choose from. And one brother, his name was Judas. This isn't the Judas who betrayed Jesus. This is another brother named Judas. And the other brother's name was Matthias. And they don't know who to choose. They know they're supposed to choose a person to replace Judas Iscariot. They're going to replace his position. They don't know who to choose. And see what the Bible says there. Now we're at verse 26. And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Do you see that there? They drew lots right up into the threshold of Acts chapter 2. Now, you never find in the New Testament, you never find the believers drawing lots anymore after this occurrence, because in chapter 2, it's the mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the birth of the church, and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and God did something so phenomenal. He did something so phenomenal in them. Go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Oh man, the day of the New Testament believer was born when the church was birthed in Acts chapter 2, and there was no more casting of lots to discover the will of God. There was no more casting of lots to find the leading of the Lord. And here in John 7:37, Jesus said this: "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.'" I'm so glad verse 39 is in here, because the church would have debated this for centuries about what Jesus meant by that. But we don't have to debate it, because the word already clarifies exactly what he meant by it. Verse 39, "But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Can I say this? The Holy Spirit is in us. One reason he's in us, one reason is to lead us and guide us. Aren't you glad? That's the second principle I want to share with you. The first one was that faith begins where the will of God is known. The second one is that the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, he's on the inside of you. One reason he is to lead you and guide you into all the will of God, into the perfect will of God. I said, that's what he's there for. Don't turn here, but you can write down Acts 32 verse 8, because God says there, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you with my eye on you. Do you know that's a promise from God to you personally? What do you need help with? What do you need guidance with? Oh, the mighty Holy Ghost, he's on the inside of you, and he is there to lead you and guide you. Go with me. You're in John right now. Go with me to John 14, John chapter 14. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Oh, say that one more time. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Man, where would we be without him? He is there to lead us and guide us. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and what? And will be in you. Look at verse 20. Jesus said in that day, John 14, 20, in that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. What day? What day? It's the day we're living in right now. It's the glorious day that which we live as the New Testament believers. Glory be to God. The Holy Spirit, if you're born again, is down on the inside of you. And one reason he's there is to lead you and guide you into all of the perfect will of God for your life. I said, God wants you to know. He wants you to be led. Look at John, you're in John 14:26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Look in the next chapter, John 15:26. John 15:26. I know I'm going fast tonight. Just write those references down. If you don't get them, I'll write them down. John 15:26. When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. Look at 16. John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage, Jesus said, that I go away. Why? How could it be to our advantage? For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Oh, my brother and sister, the Bible says if we abide in him, and if he abides in us and we abide in him, we can ask what we will and he'll do it. John 16, verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. The mighty Holy Ghost, he's a revealer. He will disclose what is to come. Now, we can never know everything that's to come because the Bible says we have to walk by faith, not by sight. And if we knew everything, we wouldn't have to walk by faith if we just knew everything. But the Holy Spirit, the mighty Holy Spirit, he will disclose to us what is to come. Oh, thank God for the Holy Spirit down on the inside of us. And today we have the mighty Holy Spirit as a resource, and we should be going. He's on the in. See, the thing, it has changed. What Israel had, they were being led from the outside. They looked up outwardly. They looked outside of themselves for leading. And throughout their history, the prophet, the priest, and the king, those were the ones who communicated with God on behalf of the people. But it was all outward in. And they looked up, they looked out. But now, in the day of the New Testament believer, you and I have the Holy Ghost right here in our spirits. We have the mighty Holy Spirit in our spirits. And we look inward now. We're to look inward. We are to look inward. And so we must train our spirit to follow the inward witness. We've got to train our spirit. That's the third principle I want to share with you. That's the last one. We've got to train our spirits to follow the inward witness. Oh man, when we train, because so often we train our mind, we train our intellect, we train our bodies. And so often we do all of that at the expense of our spirit. But if we're going to hear from God, if we're going to get sensitive to God, if we're going to train, however sensitive we are today, God's calling every single one of us to be more yielded, to be more sensitive than we are today. God wants to lead us. God wants to guide us. He doesn't want there to be any problem, any issue. He wants to be able to lead us right down on the inside. Over in Acts 27, over in Acts 27, verse 10. Acts 27, verse 10. While you're turning there, you know, listen, we've got to train our spirit. We've got to train our spirit to follow the inward witness. That's the third thing I want to say. We've got to train our spirit to follow the inward witness. That's also the title of this message. Train your spirit to follow the inward witness. Train your spirit to follow the inward witness. In Acts 27, 10, Paul is a prisoner. He's getting on board a ship, and the ship has, when Paul got on, he was the 276th person on board the ship. And the moment he got on board the ship, he said, "Sirs, I perceive there's going to be a great accident." He's a prisoner. He's on his way to Rome. He's got to appeal a court case to Caesar. He's getting on the ship to travel to Rome. The ship is loaded with cargo. 275 other persons, 276 total. And when he gets on board, he said, "Sirs, I perceive there's going to be a great accident. We're going to all die. The ship is going to be lost. All of the cargo is going to be lost. We should not sail." And you know what they did? You know what they did? They took a majority opinion. They took a majority vote. They were so far in the natural, they were using their minds to try to figure out whether or not they should sail. And anytime we get our mind, see, for us to be successful, training our spirit to follow the inward witness, I tell you, we're going to have to get our mind quiet. So often our mind is racing with thoughts. And what happens to us a lot of times is we get these thoughts and we don't know if that thought has come from God or not. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or is it just Brother Bill talking about Brother Bill? We get thoughts and we don't know. It's not. Now, if it's a bad thought or evil thought, you say, "Okay, well, that came from the devil." You know what to do with that. But there are thoughts that are otherwise good thoughts, and you're trying to make a decision about what to do. You're trying to make a decision about whether or not to take that job. You're trying to make a decision about what. I remember one time I was working as a frontline manager at FedEx, not senior manager then. I'm working as a frontline manager, just to keep this story as long as possible. No, to make the story as brief as possible. My wife and I, we had planned an evening of prayer. We had eaten during the day, but we were going to skip dinner and after the kids had eaten, then we were going to slip off and pray. And so we're just praying about the future. And anyway, and so I came home very frustrated because I was having some issues at work and I had a new boss, and I came home frustrated because someone anonymously put a job change application in my mail slot, which is really, it's like an anonymous way of saying maybe you should apply somewhere else. Maybe you should go somewhere else. Nobody, they didn't leave me a note who put that in there. They just put that job change application in my mail slot, and I knew exactly what it was, and it made me mad. And I just dug my heels in the ground, and I said, "I ain't going nowhere. I know I'm already doing a good job. I've got excellent reviews. I know my standing and ranking in the company. I know, and I'm prepared to defend it. And I'm not going nowhere," and I meant that. And when I saw that, it just made me mad. And I just came home and said, "You know, I sure ain't going anywhere." And I never forget my wife. She asked me, she said, "What's that in your hand?" I said, "It's a job change application. They're trying to get me to leave. I ain't going nowhere." I remember she said, "You still going to pray tonight?" I said, "Oh yeah, I'm going to pray." I said, "I need to go in, you know, put on my sweatshirt and some sweats and come back out." She said, "You want to pray about that?" I said, "I don't need to pray about it. I already know what I'm. I ain't going nowhere." So I went, got changed, came back out. She said, "You sure you don't want to pray about that?" I said, "Okay, I'll pray. I'm willing to pray. I already know the answer. I know I don't need to pray because I know the answer to this. I already know the answer." I said, I'll pray. And I took the papers, you know, the 8.5 by 11. I did like that. And I said, "Okay, let's just start right here." And I said, Father God, in the name of Jesus, just let me know. If I'm supposed to leave my job and transfer 10 miles down the road, if I'm supposed to do that, just let me know. I'll do whatever you say." And I'm telling you, like somebody snapped their finger just down here in my gut, down here in my belly, just that fast. I had a peace just drop in my spirit just like that fast. You know, if my mind went tilt, my mind was thinking, "I don't want to do that. This has got to be a mistake. This peace can't be right." Ha 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 ha! Oh, but it was right. And I went down there. I never got so blessed in all my life. I went down there. They called me up. They saw I applied. They said, well, all the experience you got as a frontline manager, they said, we're not going to even interview you. We're just going to give you the job. And they said, the managers down here don't have any experience. And they said, you've been doing this job for like 5-6 years. And they said, we're just going to give you a $2,500 signing bonus just because you're coming over here. And I went over there. You say, what happened? And I went over there, worked faithfully. A year later, I got promoted to senior manager. But it all started with something that my mind never would have done. My mind was going tilt while my spirit was going yes. And so often we get in a situation and we override what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. And it is why it is so vitally important that we learn to quiet our mind. Because sometimes our mind is racing with the busyness of the day, racing with the thoughts of the day, racing with decisions that have to be made, racing with the kids that need to be, something needs to be picked up, someone needs to be picked up, or dinner needs to be made, and our mind gets to racing. And so often we're more cognizant of the thoughts that are in our mind than what's going on in our spirit. So let me take our last few remaining moments, and let's talk about how. We train our spirit. How to do that? Number one, if we're going to train our spirit, and as I say, no matter what level of sensitivity you have right now, we all need to be more sensitive to God. Can we agree with that? Is there anybody here say, I don't need to be any more sensitive to God. I'm as sensitive to God as I'm going to ever be. Come up here so we can slap you. In love. We'll slap you in love. No. Listen, if we're going to train our spirit, if we're going to train our spirit to follow the inward witness, number one, listen, we're going to have to walk in love. We're going to have to train our spirit to hear the Spirit of the Lord on the subject of love. You know why? God is the Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Remember that? John 4:24. And then over in 1 John, just write this down. 1 John 4:7-8 and 1 John 4:16. It talks about how God is love. Listen, and because God is love, if we resist Him on this subject, we'll never be able to be sensitive to Him on following the inward witness. We'll never be able to follow the inward witness if we don't first learn how to follow it on love. Well, brother, can't get an amen teaching like that. There might be somebody you need to apologize to. There might be somebody you need to go and say, hey, you know, I'm so sorry I acted like that. There might be somebody that you need to go and make something right with. You trying to be led by the Spirit at the same time out of love, and every step out of love is a step into sin. And if we don't learn how to follow the Lord first on the subject of love, we'll never learn how to follow the inward witness. Faith worketh by love, Galatians 5:6. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. We could go on and on. But we're going to have to learn how to be sensitive to the love walk first. You want to train your spirit? Be sensitive to the love walk first. Secondly, listen, we've got a feast. We've got a feast on the mighty Word of God. If we're going to train our spirit to follow the inward witness, we've got a feast on the Word of God. Remember this, that the inward witness and the Word of God always agree. There is never a contradiction between the inward witness and the Word of God. The inward witness is the Holy Ghost in your spirit. You're a spirit, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. You know, we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And so we have to recognize that, but we've got a feast on the Word of God. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? Colossians 3:15 talks about let the word of Christ dwell within you richly. If we're going to become more sensitive to the inward witness, we're going to have to be sensitive to the love walk. We're going to have to feast and feed our spirit on the Word of God. Thirdly, listen, we're going to have to take extra time and pray in the Holy Ghost. Take time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He who speaks in an unknown tongue is not speaking to men, but speaking to God. No one understands him, but in the Spirit, he utters mysteries. That word mysteries can be interpreted answers. So often when we're praying in the Holy Ghost, not always, there's different reasons when we pray. Sometimes we're worshiping God. Sometimes we're doing any number of things. But sometimes when we're praying in the Holy Ghost, in our prayer language, in that aspect of praying in the Spirit, sometimes when we're doing that, we're praying out, the Bible says mysteries, 1 Corinthians 14:2. That word mysteries is translated answers in some places. Sometimes we're praying our own answer out. Praying our own answer out. If we're going to get more sensitive to the inward witness, we're going to have to learn to take more time and pray in the Holy Ghost. Remember, Brother Hagin said one time he was praying in the Spirit, and he said he just felt like moving his finger like that. And he said he didn't know what that meant. And he said he kept praying in the Spirit, and he felt like he should just make a little bigger circle. Didn't know what it meant. Kept praying in the Spirit. He said just felt like he should make a little bigger circle. He said he kept praying in the Spirit. He said, I'm making a circle just as wide as I can make it. And then when the Lord gave him the interpretation, the Lord told him, in the latter days of your ministry, the primary thrust shall come through your books and your tapes. And he knew what direction to take the ministry in as he spent time praying in the Spirit. And you'll know what direction to lead your family in if you'll spend more time praying in the Spirit. In my own life, the more that I've spent praying in the Spirit, the more I know. The more I pray, the more I know. There's that powerful prayer of Colossians 1:9, since the day we heard it, we've not ceased to pray and to ask that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we might walk in a manner worthy of him, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. How does that happen? One way, not the only way, one way is taking extra time to pray in the Spirit. And when we take that extra time and pray in the Spirit, it'll quiet our mind. Sometimes when you start praying in the Spirit, your mind can be drifting, you know, but the more you do it, and the more you think on Jesus, just keep thinking on Jesus, just keep bringing your thoughts back to Jesus, your mind will get quiet. And as your mind gets quiet, oh, you'll suddenly become more sensitive to what's going on in your spirit. Romans 8:14, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Romans 8:16, the Spirit bears witness, not with our mind, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. God's not going to lead you through your mind. He's going to lead you through your spirit. And your spirit will get, your mind will get thoughts that have come from your spirit, and your mind will interpret that. But it's coming through the Holy Ghost. Train your spirit to follow the inward witness. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the time that we've had tonight. Thank you for the encouragement from your word. We all need your word in a different way, with a different emphasis. And so now take the word as it's been taught, and Father, then engraft it in our hearts with application the way each person needs it. Father, thank you for the mighty word of God. Thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost. Thank you for the mighty inward witness. Thank you for leading us and guiding us into all of your truth and all of your will. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, that's going to conclude tonight's service. Before we go, we want you to know, if you need something from the Lord, God is here for you, and you can reach out to him at any time. The Lord will help you. He'll see you through. There's no situation you're facing that God won't help you through. You want to be born again, you can do that tonight. And you want to be filled with the Spirit, you can do that tonight. Whatever it is, I encourage you, train your spirit to follow the inward witness. Listen, you can write to us at partnerservice@rhema.org, partnerservice@rhema.org. Email us. You got a question or a comment? We'd love to hear from you. I want to thank you for being here. Hour of Power. It's always a joy to just pinch hit for a pastor when he and Mrs. Hagin are gone. They labor so tirelessly on our behalf. It's always great when they can get a little break and catch their breath. And we want you to have a good week. If you'll follow your spirit, if you'll listen to the inward witness, you're going to have a fantastic week. God's just waiting to guide you and I. And as you look to him, you're going to be more sensitive than you've ever been before. All right, anything else we're supposed to mention? If you're a first-time guest, we want to thank you for being here. Don't forget to go out to the lobbies and get that Welcome Home booklet. We love you all. We thank you for being here. Be here again on Sunday when Pastor will have a mighty word for us. Be here Sunday. School of the Bible starts at 9. Church starts at 10. Be safe going home. We love you all. God bless.